Well, I have something I need to say to you, you fucking bitch.
Oh, babes, you coming for me already?
I'm coming for you already.
Oh, no.
And it's this.
What'd I do?
We have a 2-hour time limit. Not that I think we're going to be recording for 2 hours.
Oh, my God,
bitch,
please.
I'm making bread. Bitch, I'm making bread. I have bread to rise. Oh, I have bread to prove.
She has yeast. Yeast is activated.
Oh, my yeast is rising so slowly.
So you sound like making bread.
Yeah, we're making bread. I woke up today and I was like, what am I going to do today? Because I don't have work. And we cleaned. My roommate got a new coffee table off of Facebook Marketplace. The last true mercantile in the world.
Oh, yeah, honestly.
The People's Bazaar. And then I beat, for my Dark Souls 3 heads, I've been replaying all of Dark Souls trilogy this winter.
Where are you now?
I started in November with Dark Souls 1, obviously, and then beat Dark Souls 2 like a couple weeks ago, like maybe 2 weeks ago I beat Dark Souls 2. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm on Dark Souls 3, and I just cleared out the untended graves, the like alternate Firelink shrine, where you have to refight Champion Gundyr, and then there's like the Firekeeper's eyes, like
optional,
in that hand section.
That?
It's optional.
Okay,
it's
I don't think I've done that.
It's because you don't do most things in those games. And I bet you've never even gone to like the scorched, what is it, like the scorched pits or whatever, where you can find the old like Izalith, the like crumbling ruins of Izalith.
Oh no,
like,
I think
giant
I did.
Magma serpent.
No, I think I did.
You have to like cut the bridge to get down there.
Yes, I remember that. I remember that.
Did you do the Dragon Peak with
that
the Nameless King?
That made me gag when you have to cut that bridge.
Yeah, I know.
What was the other one?
The Dragon Peak with the Nameless King. He's like the dragon
rider.
Oh, isn't
it it's the area that someone's pointing to, but you have to go somewhere completely different to actually get to it.
Yeah, yeah. you have to get the dragon's path gesture.
Mm-hmm. I only did it because you told me how to do it.
Yeah. You have to get the dragon's path gesture from the Drowned King's Garden, where you have to fight like Osiris, that like weird serpent man.
Like Easter eggs really be like, oh, that boss you like beat like 40 hours ago.
But
you actually need to kill them with this specific weapon to get the specific item. And if you read the description, you then have to reload your save to go.
The way to get to the Untended Graves is like legitimately right behind where you get that gesture, which is funny how you just completely missed it. And the 40 messages in front of it that says, like, secret
path. Oh, I don't play with
ahead.
Messages on. They bother me.
Oh, I love them. And then I just beat the Nameless King. First try, by the way. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And then I beat Champion Gundyr. And then I beat the Twin Princes, Lothric. Ooh. And
those bitches.
I can't remember what the other guy's name is. And then I'm going to do the DLC next after I beat the Lord of Cinder.
That DLC is no fucking joke.
I know, I love the Ring City DLC. But yeah, no, anyways, I was like, let me play some more Dark Souls 3. And then what else did I do today? I made coffee, cleaned the kitchen, and then it started snowing. And I was like, well, time to podcast.
Oh my God, it's snowing? Aww.
I mean, it's flurrying. It's not really
snow.
It's
not snow. Like
I don't think snow is real on the East Coast anymore.
Unfortunately, nowadays. We just don't have those luxuries we used to. I know, I've heard that like it's just not really snowing at all on the East Coast. It's like just wet and shitty.
Yeah, I mean, they are saying that it is like abnormally bad this year because climate change coincided with the El Nino.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so there is like an unseasonably wet winter, but also warmer. So no snow, even if there is a lot of moisture.
I love the future.
They're saying there should be more snow next year, but probably never going to be like, you know, snowbanks on either side of the road and like sledding down the hill vibes anymore. I mean, like that seems to be a figment of the past on the East Coast. But yeah, no. So it's nice, though. I mean, it's like one of those days where you stay inside and make bread. I'm too poor to go anywhere anyway. So we have not had the money to go grocery shopping in the last few weeks. We're waiting on some paychecks, so we've just been making bread. We've been making bread and soup and pasta.
Honestly,
and
though,
like what we've been living on
when you
yeah,
have it.
It's like winter vibes. But I mean, it doesn't feel like I'm eating that much bread and pasta because I work out every day now. So like,
You're like, damn, it just kind of like,
yeah, I mean, like, I'm just like hungry all the time now.
I know when I'm regularly working out, I legitimately like am starving all the time.
Yeah, I get home and I eat a big meal and I'm like, wow, I just defeated the purpose of working out. And then I'm like, oh no, your body's like consuming more calories. Exactly.
You need it. You know, literally need it.
You burn like 400 calories at the gym and then your metabolism is just up in general.
And you feel better. You really do. Like,
yeah, I mean, I love working out. Bitch, let me tell you. You know what? I'm going to say something problematic. I can see why in dictatorships, they force them to go to the gym. Like,
I mean, that's how I feel whenever I eat a vegetable. I'm like, damn, no, right. Like, I do feel better.
I like, you know what? Maybe mandatory gym is, like, honestly, kind of a slay. Like,
I mean, honestly,
force us to all have PE every day. That's the thing is, like, I was just talking about this with... traumatized me.
I feel like it's why I can't work out.
I know
well
forced
now.
PE is bad, but like I'm just saying, like I miss.
Well, it's bad not having, for the reasons it should be bad. Like we should have an ability to exercise and like
kids
move around.
Getting all their energy out. Yeah. Kids getting all their energy out after like sitting in school all day is like great.
Yeah.
The way that PE is set up is bad. I'm not saying like it should be like it was
well,
in middle school.
At my school,
but, like,
at least, I'm sure this is the same for you, but if you weren't in a sport, PE was very much like remedial, like. Kind of vibes. They were like, yeah. You like lazy losers, like no one gives a shit about y'all, like just run this thing until the state says it's okay.
I went to a very sports forward school and like performance arts school. Oof, like yeah. Like because the fun fact about private schools is like a lot of these Christian schools will like have a very small amount of students at them. Like my school, like I said, I think there was like 400 kids max when I was going there. Crazy.
My school was small, but that's really small.
Yeah. And that's like, and that was like in the whole school. I think there was like 80, 90 kids graduating in the class. But because there is so little students there, you are not like having as much kids per class, which means like, you know, the like education is not necessarily better than you
it's
would get at public
be,
school
but
like you're in like English class with like 10 kids.
Yeah,
you
know? Can't really get away with
you're
anything.
Not in English class with like 100 kids, which one of my friends went to a high school like that. And so they like always like brand themselves as like, you know, Christian education with like college prep classes, you know, like they love that. And so the school was like very strict about academics, but it was also pretty strict about sports because a lot of kids would go there because the parents could obviously pay to keep them in private school, but also they had like, you know, the money because of it being a Christian school that didn't have to pay taxes or whatever to have like nice sports facilities. So a lot of athletes went to my school. And as a result, like, it was very sports focused, like PE, you know, like
terrifying.
We were working out in like fancy gym stuff, you know? Mm. And yeah, so we like had really involved PE. I mean, like we had to do whole, like there would be years where we were doing like literally weight training, like squats and barbells and like pull ups and all that kind of crazy stuff, you know, like the way that you feel like gym is like platonically set up in the movies is like kind of how it felt like at my school.
I can see the montage,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I was like captain of the track team, not track, what was it called? Cross country. Mm-hmm. So I also had to work out a lot because of that. So I just like, I think I just have fond memories of it in school because it was like the time and day where it was like equal. Everyone was equal because we're all in the same clothes and we all have to do the same activities. And I was pretty athletic, so I was better than most people. Activities.
Well, I won't lie, it was kind of great.
It was like a place for me to excel and be better than the kids that, you know, were mean to me at school.
Well, that's always good. I mean, the thing is, it was nice when they started separating the people who were in sports versus not in sports, because then there wasn't really a competition and no one gave a shit. Like I was literally just hanging out with the girls who were like eating hot Cheetos and texting on their phone, like, well, everybody else is running the mile.
Yeah, there was that.
That was me.
We had to have like there was like special PE for athletes where like you would have
that was
like
the fourth period
is,
of my school, like they all went out there.
You would have like seventh period or your zero period would be PE because then you would just work out with the other athletes, you know, you didn't like work out with like the regular students or whatever. But then it was nice because me and my friends campaigned to get theater counted as a PE sport because because we had to take dance classes and stuff.
Oh, then it was like for the musicals and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So we were like, if we're in the musicals and we're doing the same amount of like extracurriculars as the athletes, then like my last 2 years we didn't have to take PE because we were going to just be in the musical. It was like, be in the musical, you don't have to take PE. So that was nice. That.
I wish dancing was like more common of a way to like just get exercise, like generally
speaking. I love dancing. I know. I wish it wasn't so expensive to go dancing these days. I mean, just where I am, because like it's like a big city. Mm. I could probably do like drop-in stuff, but I have been looking into classes for, you know, when I actually get paid at my job for real. And
like
not
dance
just,
classes?
Yeah, just
ooh,
for fun.
What kind
I
of
was
dance?
Thinking about taking contemporary and like, I mean, hip hop is what it is called, but mm-hmm. it has just been folded into like so many different things.
I'm
like,
sure.
Yeah, I would love to get back into it. I took them in high school and in college, and then I stopped as an adult because you have priorities and you're like, mm-hmm. I'm going to the club every weekend. Why do I need to take dance classes? You know? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to do it for any particular reason other than just, I really like dancing and I would consider myself really good at dancing. So it's nice to have something that is like purely for self-enjoyment.
I've when I'm with you at the club, I feel like I'm in the video, like... I mean, like in the music video, like
when
show.
We went to Voyeur, I was really feeling it.
Yeah, you
Voyeur.
Really were. I was like in awe. I was like, this is fantastic.
I know. I was like, even like when I was playing Ariana Grande for some friends, I was like showing them the like,
like, let's get to the choreo, mama.
Like I literally was like, ka-ka-da-ka, you know, and I miss doing that. I used to shout out to friends of the podcast, Chris and Rashida. When I lived in San Francisco, we had this like, I had this like apartment that had like a really big living room. Cause it was like a studio with, it was like this, it, like the way that it was set up was like a studio apartment with an attached bedroom.
Was that the one
you know,
near
Alamany? Just like a,
or the other one?
Yeah. The one by Park Merced or whatever.
Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
So it was just like a big studio and there were like no walls between the kitchen and where everything else was. And then there was just like a bathroom and an attached bedroom, you know? So it was like just a big box of a space. And my living room as a result, because I was 21 and had no furniture, was just like cavernous, right? It was hardwood floors and like vaulted ceilings. And when you would talk in the room, it would be like
loudest.
Hello, 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 hello. Like literally so spooky at night. Anyways, we would have lip sync battles in my living room because it was like so cavernous. Mm-hmm. And of course, Chris and I always were the ones that ended up like battling it out. And to this day, like, listen, we both got our like licks in many, many different times during various different social functions. But the one that I will never let her get over, and Rashida can back me up on this, is it was like Vroom Vroom had just came out and I had memorized the choreo from the video.
Stop. Oh my
and
God.
I ate her up to that choreo. I ate her up. Like, it was no contest. It was like not a battle. I literally just destroyed her. Yeah. It was over before it even started, you know? So we used to do stuff like that all the time. I like miss being in college for shit like that because it was just like, we're 20, let's have a lip sync battle in my living room.
I swear, like, I mean, you and I have talked about this
a
lot.
And we would get into it. Like, we would do chair choreo. We would like get up on the sofas and the tables. Like, we like, it was everything. Props. It was a whole thing.
Well, like I was telling you this, we talked about this a lot last year, but like one thing I wanted to do, especially after COVID, was like go out more and dance more. And I swear, it's like when people talk about the club dying, I'm like, it's because you guys are not dancing and you're all like embarrassed and weird about it. Like, I cannot, it's so weird how many venues I go to now where I am the one dancing and like nobody else is. I mean, my friends with me will be, but like sometimes we're the only group people like dancing and I'm like, the music's loud, no one can hear each other talk, why are we not dancing? Like,
yeah,
it's weird. Like, get
sorry
the fuck
if
up
you're
and
loudly
move.
Talking in the club, I just like don't want to be around you.
Yeah,
I was at a what is it,
like,
I was
literally
at
move
a...
out of my way, like.
Yeah, I was at a New Year's party and it was like fun. Like, I had a nice time, but there we like had put on like some dancier, groovier music, you know, and Madonna Into the Groove, you know, get into the
it's time
groove,
to get moving.
You know, that song that came on and I was like boogieing. I was like, you know, like getting into it. I was like choreo, everything. And literally nobody was dancing. And I was just in the living room and I was like, I could do this when I was on alcohol all the time, or like cocaine.
It's true. When you've been drinking,
like,
it's a lot easier.
Yeah. Molly, like, I am.
Oh, girl,
I have
Molly,
no
you're
shame.
Like,
no, but I'm
aside.
Saying I have no shame being the, like, absolutely, literally the only person dancing. I used to have no shame about it. But I was telling you this at Voyeur, when you're sober and you're the only person dancing in the club or in your
insane.
Social group. I feel insane because not only am I, like, acutely aware
of all the
my
things
surroundings
nobody else
as
is aware
a sober
of.
Person, but yeah. I'm like seeing beyond the veil in the club in a way that, like, I don't love.
Oh,
like,
when we were leaving Voyeur, like, nearly 4 a.m. or something, and we don't go out that late here. That doesn't exist. California's like, you gotta go home. Like, we don't let you do it. I was genuinely like, oh, like, you're all fucking gone. Like, you guys are gone. Cause I got drunk, but I don't get that wasted. I've never blacked out. And when you actually see that behavior for what it is, it's like,
oh, you've seen me
man,
black
alcohol.
Out.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen me black out a few times.
Yeah. But you still have fun. You still have fun.
Did we ever tell the story to the new listeners about the Vanderpump Rules bar crawl? Like, have we told that story?
Because you deleted
in a long
the episode
time?
Off the Patreon.
I did delete the episode off the Patreon.
I wish you did. I wonder if there has to be copy somewhere.
Okay, like, if we've told this story already, then thank God we're running out of stories. But, like, I hope we haven't told the story in a while, at least.
There's a lot of people who really have not or cannot listen to it, so.
But we, back in the very early days of the podcast, in our original iteration, our Patreon was not as big as it was now. But, like,
we,
you
like
know,
just
we had a sizable.
I think we, like, just started it when we did this.
I think we only had, like, 200 patrons back then.
You
but, No, I mean, not 200. We only had like 100-something patrons back then. But then we stopped our Patreon and then came back in 2021, as you guys know. But this was 2019. And this was actually, this was actually also famously how I got my job at Jezebel. This is part of the story.
Oh my
God,
that's that far back. I forget.
So
that's insane.
I was already working at Jezebel, but I mean, like, how I got staffed at Jezebel. I was already freelancing there. So we had taken the, like, first month's earnings, which were like $1,000, which was a lot of money to us.
Oh,
at,
I know,
what,
especially
24. And we booked an Airbnb in LA, and we were going to go and record at all of the Vanderpump Rules establishments. And we did. We literally went to all three because there was only three back then.
I'm literally trying to find the photos from that night.
Schwartz and Sandy's wasn't open yet, but we
Tom
went.
Tom was.
Tom was. Yeah. That's why I said three, because it was. And Villa Blanca just closed.
Yeah, and
Villa
this
Blanca
is
had just
before
closed.
Pump closed. So we because we did we did Sir Pump Tom Tom.
We were in Sir, and it was like harrowing. And this
that
Peter
was an upsetting place to be.
Yeah, Peter was working. It was really bad. And they were playing old Vanderpump Rules episodes on the TV, and it was just like very strange. The goat cheese balls made me feel sick to my stomach. And it literally looked
so
like if you like
terrible.
Rested your hand too hard on any of the walls, it would like fall through or like crumble to dust.
I just
like,
remember
it literally felt like everything was made out of paper mache. Like I was like I'm going to sit too hard in this chair and it's going to collapse under me because it's actually just newspaper and glue. Like
I just remember being in there and going, oh, this is why you never see the ceiling.
Yes.
It breaks the illusion completely.
Yeah.
You're like,
I think
oh, this
it was
is just
popcorn
home
ceilings.
Goods furnishings that like don't reach the ceiling.
Yeah. And then we went to Pump and we sat at the bar and we
Pump
had
the vibe. I liked Pump a lot.
I think I had 4 Pump teenies. Like I'm pretty sure I had 4 Pump teenies.
Just one
which
of those
was
like nuclear waste.
51.
I remember they gave it to us and it was sticky. Like I grabbed it, my hands were sticky and I was like, what the fuck did you
because it was covered
me?
In sugar.
Yeah, because they pre-make and that shit and just like dump it.
We got like blackout at Pump. Like I was
pretty close, but you were gone.
I don't remember basically anything from Pump until I woke up on the floor of the bathroom that night. Like that is just like a void.
I remember
because I no, but I'm saying I remember because there's like photos from it and voice recordings of myself narrating what
we
was
were
happening.
Recording ourselves every like 30 minutes.
Yes. And we were at Pump and we got kicked out of Pump because Lisa Vanderpump's bodyguard overheard me talking to Matt
to
about being a journalist.
I was like,
and like a reporter.
Like, that was the moment because we were like right next
and
to her.
And as I was saying it, I didn't realize her bartender, her like guy was
we
getting
probably
a drink for
so
her.
Obvious.
Yeah. Like her guy was like at the bar and he like
we're
noticed
like, oh
us,
God,
heard
right
us talking. And when I went up to stand with like the line that had formed around her, because by the way, there was like 50 people signing stuff with her, right? It was not like me like
no
hounding her, right? And Matt was like, you should go talk to, you should go talk to her. So I go up and the guy's like, excuse me, did I overhear you worked as a reporter? And I was like, yes. And he was like, Lisa doesn't want to speak to you right now. I think it's best.
Yeah, you should have been like, outside. I'm just a big old fan, like, from the South.
I was like, I'm blackout, right? So yeah. I'm just like, blah, 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 blah. So like, no, what I don't remember about that.
I could probably tell you.
Matt, no, I'm saying I fully do not remember doing this because there is only an email of it and I will not be reading the email live. I had been freelancing at Jezebel and I had been writing the gossip column and I had been doing Midweek Madness and I was like really pining for a staff job there, right? And everyone liked me. Everyone loved Midweek Madness. It was like very successful and funny and like I brought my own flavor to it, as you remember. And I had this idea, which was a good idea, by the way, that like in 2019, obviously before the world changed the next year, the way that Pump, Sir, and TomTom felt in West Hollywood felt like Disneyland. Like being in them felt like Disneyland.
It's adult
Disneyland. It felt like Disneyland for Bravo celebrities. And, you know, you could go and you could see the characters. And like, I remember we were talking to a bartender and he was like, oh, yeah, like, these restaurants have like completely changed the neighborhood. Like
they have
brought in like a whole new crowd and there's all the suddenly
old,
all these
like historical spots. Yeah. Are
like the like traditional like WeHo crowds were like changing because of where Pump was. Right. And it was like now a bunch of straight girls at Pump all the time and like their boyfriends. Right. And like you would see things like I remember we walked by the Abbey and Pump was like right around the corner from the Abbey. Or maybe it's TomTom that's right around the corner from the Abbey. Either one. Mm-hmm. I remember we walked by the Abbey and it was like completely dead in there. And there was like a line around the block to get into Lisa Vanderpump's establishment. So I sent this like long-winded email to my editor-in-chief at Jezebel about like, I have this great idea for a pitch. And I had bulleted lists, but like the email was like incomprehensible. And I was like, I've had like three Pump teenies and I'm so drunk, but I have to remember this. So I'm sending it to you. And I guess that was so charming that I eventually got hired at Jezebel as a staff writer. Which, like, don't ever say alcoholism didn't do anything for me, you know? Like, it did get me a job.
Can I show us the photo with Jax that we took?
Yeah, of course. I remember this.
This is just for the video listeners.
This is when I started sobering up. I remember getting sober and feeling so outside of my body. And we'll tell the story of this photo. Why don't you show this photo?
Oh, fuck. I don't know if I'm going to be able to because I just redid my computer. Let me see. It's letting me do the screen share. One sec.
I have
to quit and reopen Zoom to get
no,
the permission.
No, I got it.
Rude.
It's fine.
You have the photo?
I'm just going to pull it up on Instagram.
Oh, my God. Is it still there? Okay.
Yeah, it's obviously still on our Instagram. Duh.
I thought you might have removed it. I'll text it to you in case.
For the record, everybody.
I was twisting.
Just to like get clear on how this photo started. Matt was not the one that initiated this photo. It was me. And the way that it happened was the silliest thing that I've legitimately ever experienced in my life. Okay, so before I pulled this picture up, we're sitting at TomTom. I'm finally getting sober. I literally like vomited 14 times. It felt like in the toilet at TomTom. I get up. I'm like, I'm sober now. I get a Red Bull and a vodka, obviously, because that's your sobering up beverage.
Yeah.
And I head back and I'm sitting there with your friend. And I notice these girls keep staring directly at me. And I'm like, okay, like just like ignore them. Right. I looked hot. My tits were out. So I'm like, I just thought maybe it was because of that.
Yeah.
So one of them comes over to us and sit next to me and is like, hey, do you know who that is over there? And I was like, excuse me? And she's like, do you know who that is? And I was like, and I look and it's fucking Jax.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, with a bunch of people I don't recognize.
It was Jax and then Bo or whatever his name is.
Yeah,
Stassi's
it was Bo.
Man.
Bo Deedle. Yeah. No, it was Bo. So Bo is like sitting there with him or maybe
I do
Bo.
Remember Bo was talking about how he loves going to gay bars but doesn't like being hit on by the gay men.
Yes.
Remember being like,
yes,
noted. Like it was like the one thing I remember.
So Jax turns and looks at me and smiles and I'm like, ugh. And his friend's like, that's Jax Taylor from Vanderpump Rules. And like, then no now shit, I'm annoyed, Sherlock. Right? Because I'm like, I hated Jax, right? This was the season where it was like Jax and Faith, you know? And oh, there was horrible. All that chaos.
Horrible.
And I thought he was a horrible person. So I was like, oh, that's, I don't know who that is. Sorry. Like, that's cool. And she's like, he's a really big deal. Like, he's like part of the show. And I was like, oh, like, that's, yeah, yeah, that's cool. Like, again, like,
I remember okay. She was trying, she's like, do you guys want a photo? Do you guys want to get a
no,
photo?
No, she goes, you guys should get a photo with him. And we're I was like,
okay.
No. And he's, and she's like, yeah, no, like he'll have a photo with you guys. It's no big deal. And I was like, oh, okay.
I remember she literally was saying something like, just take the photo. I know you guys want one. I was like, okay, now we're escalating. Like, we
yeah,
truly
I'm like,
do not.
Jesus fucking
we
Christ,
were sitting there
alone.
First. We sat in that yes. area first, and Jax and his friends came over. So I was like, so, man, we didn't sneak our way here.
So this is the thing, and this is what I remember, is I remember sitting there, and I just remember Jax's hand on my neck. like you know, we're like, oh, guys yeah, we will like give them, you yeah. an arm hug, and he like like you could like I can Ooh. Just I could feel his like arm like pressed against
really,
my
like,
back, and I was like
thinking about it.
I literally was like, ooh. So this is the photo, and it's a shocking photo. I mean, my God, my bangs era. Remember when I had bangs?
Yes, I do distinctly, actually.
Oh God! And it was our first bonus episode ever,
254 weeks ago.
I know. Yeah, these are all the photos. Man.
Mama,
oh,
we were
God, it was so tacky
twisted.
And sir. We were so gone in this photo.
I'm shocked I was even able to do this. Like, honestly.
I know. But yeah, I think that's so funny that was
the
how I
real
got my
curse
job.
Of it all was the Airbnb we stayed in.
Yeah, remember
that was a like saw trap.
I got alcohol poisoning, and I was also trying to lie to Matt the entire time that I didn't have alcohol poisoning.
Mother.
I was like, it was something else. Something
we were in the Uber
sick.
Back, and I was like, she's gonna die.
No, well, I had vomit in my mouth for the entire 15-minute Uber back to Culver City. And as soon as I opened the door of the Uber, I just leaned over
into the bushes.
My mouth and into the bushes. I won't explain. You guys,
and me and my friend
had,
we have like our fat burger takeout. We're like, okay,
I had
girl.
It. I literally Did had it in my mouth the entire Uber ride.
That's
like,
real, like,
stressed.
Real alcoholism.
And then we were in this like cursed Airbnb that had just been renovated, and the door to the bathroom was glass and slippery and wouldn't open, but it was like a sliding glass door
a
that
sliding door
away
with
into
no
like a
hinges.
Pocket door.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I would be in the bathroom and I would like press my hands against it to like shut it. And then like, I'm like trying not to vomit on the floor. And then.
Oh, you did. You did vomit on the floor before you got.
And then I would like,
what
try to open
Nobody
it.
Nobody could help you.
I would try to open it and it would get stuck. And there was one time where I was so sick inside and I had slept on the floor and I woke up the next day and I couldn't get out. Like, it was literally, the door
oh,
was jammed.
I was so dead.
And the whole bathroom was like white marble. So it was giving me a headache because it like faced the sun. And I just remember laying on the floor crying and begging Matt to help me open the door. I was like, man, I can't open the door. I'm so still
oh
like
God.
Blackout drunk from the alcohol poisoning, and we went to urgent care, and that lady was like,
we went to urgent care.
I was like, Matt, I need to go to urgent care.
It was like
3
p.m.
wrong.
And you're like still vomiting. It was like, all right, we gotta go
yeah
that.
And they gave me an IV and some meds for like dehydration, and the lady was like, were you drinking last night? And I was like, no, I don't know what it was. It must have been food. And she's like, huh.
She's like, sure,
okay,
Diva.
Well,
sure.
You know, maybe you... And she handed me a card for an alcohol program in LA.
And little did you know?
Little did I know. Oh, God. I know.
You.
And then I got sober. I think I got sober like almost a year later. So
yeah, basically. Yeah. That was April 2019.
That was April 2019.
But that
yeah,
Airbnb,
I got sober a year later.
Airbnb was so fucked up. It was not only advertised as a whole house, it was just a unit above a garage in the backyard of someone else's house. And I remember you and I got there and we're like, oh, hopefully no one's in the main house. And then like 30 frat boys show up for like their
yeah.
major weekend. I was like, I mean, to like walk through that backyard where they were like doing beer pong.
Yeah, remember? I just remember being so drunk and laying
myself.
On the floor and like pulling myself up to look at the window because they were playing beer pong in the backyard. And every time we tried to sat on the couch,
it would
like
split
apart.
Because it was a sectional that like didn't work. I don't. And then I would go to the kitchen. I'm like, okay, they're like silverware cups. No, everything was in packaging still, including the scissors. So you couldn't open the package.
Yeah, it was really bad. And yet somehow that's not the worst vacation we've ever taken. Oh. Remember the vacation where somebody died while we were on LSD?
We can only laugh about it now because it was so bad.
That was like peaking on LSD, and then somebody dying was
something else. The person who died was not there.
Yeah, no.
But it was a very important thing.
It was someone we knew. And we got the phone call as it was happening, and you literally found me in my Palm Springs caftan, collapsed.
I distinctly remember the phone call.
Being like, where's Joe? Because remember we were barbecuing.
We were in the middle of making dinner. Yeah. And it was the middle of the trip. We're all high with like six people. And I distinctly, the phone call, its own trauma. And then you, in your black caftan, running down the steps to the pool and then like collapse.
So
and then
dramatic.
Like screaming, and we're all so high, we're like, what the fuck?
I know, I was on LSD. I don't think I slept for weeks, and then there was like cicadas in my room, and so
that
I
was
just,
when
like,
the tarantula came in our room that night.
Yes, so bad.
We've so bad.
Only taken bad vacations together. Like,
I know,
we've literally
it's
only
so
taken
tragic.
Bad vacations.
That
I
trip
know.
Was. In, oh my god, it
that
was
trip
like,
was. Oh my god, and remember. Remember how hot it was, and you had to drive 30
no
minutes to get into town, and you go into that grocery store, and it's like a wall of AC, like blasting you.
You're like, that's what we should have had. I know, and like we were standing in front of the AC unit while it was like 110 outside, and it was like, it's still not cold enough. Like, this
I made that
working.
Entire punch bowl, and I was the only one that drank it the entire trip. It was literally like a stock pot of wine, sparkling water, fruit, and like some other kind of beverage, rum or something.
Who fucking knows?
Like some kind of like jungle juice vibes. And I literally must have drank the whole thing. I think I drank
Girl,
the whole thing.
I mean, it was like the worst week of my life.
I know. God, I know. So like the dancing thing, it's like I
to go all the way back.
No, it's just like I just like remember like the clubs were different, but they're never going to be the same way that they were, and that's fine. No. But I do think that sometimes I wonder, like, how much of my nostalgia for the clubs is, like, alcohol-based or fun-based. Like, I do remember...
It's a mix, I'm sure.
Like, I'm going to, like, sing its praises forever, but, like, I do remember being, like, 20 at the Stud, drunk, and, like, dancing to, like... Ariana Grande, and just being like, this is literally as good as life is ever gonna get, you know? Like, I do remember that feeling.
Yeah,
but I'm like,
I mean,
my life
the clubs before COVID are always
20.
Gonna be like nostalgic, yeah. Right? Like, at this
so
point.
I do want to go dancing again, because I was like, this week I've just been like on a dance kick. Like, I remember I remember like being a kid, and the dances that I used to be obsessed with, and this is like a little known fact about me, were like old K-pop dances that,
oh my god,
you know, they're like
endless choreo.
I don't think they were called first gen. I think it was like the second gen of K-pop, where mm-hmm. it was like Wonder Girls,
yeah,
4 Minute, 9 Muses,
yeah,
EXID, those kinds of girls. And 9 Muses, for those of you who are like OG K-pop fans, had this song ticket one way one way ticket, and I'd still know the choreo, and that song came on shuffle because I like had my like K-pop like mega mix on, that's just like all the K-pop stuff in my library, and that song came on, and I was like, Ticket one way. Like, I still remember one
K-pop
way.
K-pop choreo is so
way,
fun, though.
One
like,
way. Ticket one way. Like, I still know it all by heart. Sorry.
I was
so anyways,
say, it's the
I'm like,
of the
I should
video
get back
episode,
into doing
like...
dance. Like, I really should get back into doing dance because I used to
I know,
love memorizing.
That'd be awesome.
I'm a slave for you. I knew that in middle school. I literally
Oof,
would stand in front of OG Flavor YouTube. Or whenever it came on MTV, and I would like just pause and rewind it a million times because we had TiVo, and I would literally memorize it by heart, like literally the entire thing.
I love that.
I know. So when I get back into dance,
watch out, girls.
Maybe at our live show, we'll have to do like dance.
That'll be
maybe
on
we'll
you,
have
babe.
To do a number. You know what I want to do? We should do Ariana Grande, yes, and I'll get the T-strap character shoes and the little like capizios and the like,
oh my god,
little bowler hat, and then you can be the critics.
I was
and
about
do
to
the
say,
whole
I love
yes
that.
And choreo for you.
I'm like losing my mind as you do the choreo.
You perfect. Should, honestly. And I will get a 50-inch ponytail made by our friend Shiksa.
Yes, please.
Speaking of Yes And, there was some backlash to Yes And this week.
God, people are so boring.
Okay, this is what, like, I don't understand.
I don't. You when has Ariana become like the Scarlet Letter? Like, she literally... It feels like...
It's mass derangement syndrome for one.
It literally feels like she's the scapegoat for like all women who have like beef with like their men. Like, it's
no,
so upsetting.
Okay. I'm telling you, she is like, she is the like heterosexual boogeyman. It's like, you have to say Ariana Grande's name 5 times fast in the mirror and she comes and steals your man. Like, she literally is like the number one fear of cis women, that Ariana Grande is going to come and steal their like ugly boyfriend. And you know what? She might.
Watch
but
out.
If she could steal your ugly boyfriend, then like, did you even really want to be with him that much in the first place? But I will also say, like, that video, listen, I get people being like, oh, there's like no new concepts anymore. Everyone's always referencing stuff. But like, the video is a Paula Abdul reference, mm-hmm. right? Which is great. I love Paula Abdul. And in the backlash, a lot of people were like, oh, she's such a theater nerd. Like, why is she wearing capizios to the routine? Like, oh my God, like Wicked is like ruining Ariana Grande, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, love and light to all of you, but you're all dumb as fucking bricks. Because if you go back and you watch Paula Abdul's original video, all of them are in character shoes. All of them. Literally all of them. Literally every single one. Literally every single one of those dancers is in character shoes. Because it was a theater rehearsal space. You guys are dumb as bricks. And she obviously loves to reference. Have you seen her like Showgirls shot by shot recreation? Like, the lady loves an old school reference. She's a big theater nerd. I don't know why that's like a surprise.
Well, because people like don't know what they're talking about. Clearly.
And you know, I heard the song in the club. I heard the song at the gym. I heard the song in my home. And I heard the song while making dinner. And after completing the 4-part harmony of Where to Hear the Song, the song's really good and I like it.
It's fun. It's a bop. I'm excited. I'm excited for this album.
Era.
Bikini Bottom track.
I'm excited too. And guess what? She produced it. So
eat that up.
Eat it up. I also have to say, like, watching the Selena Gomez feud fizzle into nothingness this week is always like so comical to me.
I think everyone's so over her to a degree.
No, but like, yeah, like,
the threshold has been hit.
She came back to social media. She literally did a hi, goodbye, like in, out, in, back in again, you know? That looping gif of Homer Simpson's dad literally coming through the door, but like in reverse, you know? Like, she leaves and then just comes right back and gets dressed again. And I think that, like, it's just funny how, generally speaking, very low impact she is on culture.
Like what is
for
she do
as much hubbub as it is that gets created around her, nothing ever really materializes from it because people generally dislike everything she does. Like,
and also
genuinely.
Like, yes, she's the most followed woman on Instagram, but we all know that's like mostly bots and like unreal accounts. It's like not a real moniker anymore. If anything, okay, it's like a something else.
We say this all the time, but like, people who follow Ariana Grande always remind me of like people, like, it's like that thing we
people
talked
who follow
about
Ariana
we were
Grande.
Doing. Selena Gomez. Mm-hmm. Remember that we were doing some series and I was like, can you imagine being the kind of person who comments on YouTube videos?
Yes. You know? I think about this all the time.
I think about that all the time. We're like, if I met
especially
somebody
if you don't enjoy
and
it.
I became really good friends with them and I was like, really excited to be their friend and like we were chill, we were cool, I felt like we're getting to know each other, and then one day
see their like YouTube
I
history.
See Selena Gomez's post on my For You page and they're in the comments of the post arguing with someone,
it's over.
Literally move states and change my name. Like, I would like get so freaked out. Like, those people who leave YouTube
it's
comments,
like signs
even
of
the
radicalization.
Nice ones, yeah, I'm like, even the nice YouTube comments, if someone in my life turned out to be a big YouTube commenter, I'd be like, I literally have to like go into witness protection. Like, you're a danger to society.
The only valid YouTube comments are like old people commenting on like an old music video that they watched when they were younger and are like, brings me back, love this, like heart emoji.
There was a Twitter post last year of somebody who was like showing like old mining rig videos and like slag videos, you know, like molten slag, I think is what it's called. And there was like old like miners in the comments being like, back in my day, we used to have to crawl through a tunnel in the pitch darkness for 2 miles on our hands and knees to like do X,
see,
Y,
I'm learning
and Z.
Something.
And it would just be like these like meandering comments about it, right? Or like, oh man,
reminiscing
in this video
about the
you
old
can
day.
See, this machinery they used, you have to use to stick your arms in the saw blades and sometimes you would lose them, you know? And it was like, that's the kind of valid commentary I want to see on YouTube. But the people who are like, oh my God, yes. Every time Ariana posts anything, it just fills my heart with love and light. Sending you love from Europe. It's like, okay, who are you?
Who are you?
Show
who
yourself.
Cares? No one reads this. And if they do, they're insane.
Oh my God. By the way, the very next video on our Instagram page after the Jax Taylor video is this one. And I've just been staring at the thumbnail for this. I'm so sorry. I just hope
oh my God,
this
is it from
really
like
quick.
Old website promo or web promo? Oh.
Mother's Day, and I am so thankful to have a mother like mine who supports me through all my craziness and loves on me and buys me Chips Ahoy cookies, Chewy, the original, everything under the sun. My mom knows I love my cookies, so get those cookies. And what's a sweet gesture for you to do to your mama, your real mama, your drag mama, whichever mama, somebody, whoever take care of you, whoever you feel or consider your mama? It's their day today. Get them a cookie or two, a pack. Buy them all the Chips Ahoy's in the world. I don't know. But get some milk. Get her some milk, too. You can't buy the cookie without some milk, honey. Get those cookies. It's Mother's Day. It's time to celebrate, love, all that. Cookies. Get them. And if you don't, how you gonna celebrate Mother's Day? It's the new chocolates.
What did you think about that?
I'm sorry. That really, like, we said that so much. Get these cookies. Like, we could not.
Get these cookies.
God, remember when Drag Race was fun? Like,
oh my God, wait. I'm sorry. These old videos on our Instagram.
What are you playing?
Remember this? Remember this?
This is literally the James Charles Tati.
Welcome back to my channel. Today we are doing a get ready like never before in the beauty community.
Tati and James Charles Tati and Jeffree Star getting ready on a private jet. Like, what was 2019? It doesn't feel real. It literally doesn't feel real.
It's like the Gilded Age where it's like before everything went under and everyone killed themselves and the stock market collapsed.
Speaking of TV shows and Drag Race, thank you for the get these cookies reminder, Vanessa. What did you think about the second premiere episode of Drag Race? Because it's caused a lot of controversy
online. I haven't
seen the
second episode yet. Like,
you haven't?
I only saw the first premiere. Have you seen the second?
Yeah, of course, Matt.
What is even the drama, though?
Okay, so here's the thing.
Is the plain
there's
Jane of it all?
There's this girl, plain Jane, and she comes on, and she's like
the first
clearly
Russian
trying to do the confessional assassin, you know, edit, where she's like, I am a bitch, and I'm going to say what I mean in the confessionals.
I got that from their Meet the Queens video.
Yeah, I'm going to read you in the promo, and I'm going to fucking call you ugly when I come in the workroom. And she's not even doing it in like a tongue pop, yes, God kind of way, like Laganja. She just is like, wow, you guys are all ugly.
Oh, I hate that.
Wow, I was like really stressed out about coming here, and then I saw who the competition was, and like, I don't think you guys are going very far. And it's
whatever happened
boring.
To like actual comedy? It's like when I watch the reading challenges and I'm like, these aren't jokes. Where are the jokes?
Yeah.
You're just saying
jokes,
bad
jokes,
things.
Jokes, 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 jokes. Like, I just was watching her and, you know, she's just doing, as many people have pointed out, like Jimbo drag with like the Katya Russian angle. And it's just boring.
It's
like
plain Jane.
I'm kind of bored of like big tits being a joke. Not in like a, I think it's misogynistic way. It's just like a visual motif that has gotten stale because we've seen it on Drag Race now like six
like,
times.
Like something new.
Having a huge breastplate and pouring some kind of sauce all over them is just kind of like passe. Like,
well, it's also been done like a million times.
Yeah, no, that's what
not
I'm
even
saying.
Just on
like,
Drag Race.
It is just passé. Like, I want to see you get a, prosthetic vagina. Let's squirt some ketchup and mustard into a prosthetic vagina. Let's show your hole.
Honestly?
And pour some like mayonnaise down your hole. Like, let's actually, let's wake it up. I don't want to see like you rip off a paper burger costume and then have huge breasts and just like pour shit on top of them.
Also,
it's
if you're
boring.
Into the big breastplate, like cover your neck up or blend it right.
Yeah.
Because it is upsetting
and also,
to watch. Otherwise,
the split premieres are nice, but this Raida Queen thing being just purely a vehicle for drama, right?
I mean, it's literally the circle.
And like the first contestants did it based on merit, and then the second group did it based on strategy.
Oh, I don't like that.
Right?
Oh,
so they voted
that.
For like the worst queen.
Because I kind of like
top.
It when they're doing off merit. Like, I actually do kind of like the mechanic,
yeah.
But
the,
I could see it
the
not
worst
well.
Queens basically lip synced against each other. Because everyone seeded the vote from worst to best so that they had an idea of getting in the top. Like, so that they had like a less of a chance
I hate
of
that.
Being in the
I mean,
bottom.
Do we know from UK versus the world how terrible it goes when you play strategy and not merit?
Yeah. And it's
horrible.
Boring. It was just boring because like, Nymphia Wind is like genuinely a revolutionary drag queen on Drag Race. Like what she did in that premiere with like six looks, essentially, that all were cohesive with each other.
Oh, okay.
And interesting and telling a story. And the branding is like incredible. And her performance capabilities are incredible. And just like her talent seems like really once in a lifetime kind of talent, right? And like seeing her not be in the top based purely on a like strategy focused play by the contestants was boring. Like, it was one of those things where it's like, oh, you're letting the winners of the challenge lip sync, but the winners of the challenge weren't the ones lip syncing, right? And again, the Raida Queen thing, you can already tell it's going to be this completely arbitrary way to stir the pot. That's literally why they brought it back. It's also literally why they brought immunity back.
Yeah.
And if you noticed, immunity, they're leaving it open-ended because I
am they said like,
sure.
Oh, in the future. They didn't say next challenge. I was like, oh.
I have two theories about why that is.
Okay. Because I like the immunity. I like the idea of it, but I don't know what they're going to do based off how they designed it.
For those of you who don't watch Drag Race, they basically are awarding immunity to the winners now.
Which they used to do back in the day.
Yes.
But not
the
like
immunity
this.
Was for the next challenge. Mm. Now they're saying for a future elimination.
Yeah, I'm like, is this going to be like,
they're
oh, I get to save myself from the bottom three?
Open-ended, yes.
Yeah, I don't like
so
that.
So
like
what I'm thinking is this. I'm thinking that they are going to leave it open-ended because they were waiting for the queens to like take the lead on how they were going to use Raida Queen. And then probably decide based off of how they used Raida Queen, how to deploy the immunity. Because if they want to make sure certain people make it to the end and they are entering in game modifiers that allow certain people to bypass elimination, they still have to ensure that their picks get to the end.
Mm-hmm.
So like,
which is why they're giving
the
immunity
all
out.
About giving them the illusion of control. So like, I think they were like, okay, if they go based on merit, then we can keep the elimination stuff pretty simple because we don't have to worry about them switching up on us suddenly.
I can't stand that. I feel like that's what's bothering about Drag Race is how in the moment produced it is. It's like, it's one thing to have the framework already stacked against you, which it is, because we know they cast for the winner and then everyone else is like complimentary and possibly the winner otherwise. But when you can tell that like each episode, they're like, oh, wait, now that they're doing terrible, we need to save them for the next episode because we want them to stay. Or, oh, they were really good, but they fucked up this one. So we'll like put them under, but only so we can bring them back up the next episode. It's like so obvious. And every season, it just gets more like messy. And I just get like, I think everyone just gets angrier. Like no one's happy.
Yeah.
I don't like that. It's just like with Sasha Colby last season where like she almost every challenge was the best, but we can't let that happen. Right. So they have to give it to other people. But then also we want certain people to go home faster. So we're just going to put them in the bottom or the middle and not ever acknowledge them until we decide.
Literally.
To.
I also think that the second avenue that the lip syncing or sorry, that the immunity is going to work is you can opt out of the lip sync Lollapalooza in some way or get some like Lollapalooza immunity.
The lip syncing episodes, I don't know how to feel about them. I just like...
They're never fun.
They're not... They're we're not fun. Casting people who can all do that. So.
Can I say that Anitra lip sync from the Lollapalooza last season was proficient, but it wasn't like groundbreaking.
I don't remember it really well.
Can I also say that kind of I would rather watch Mirage perform than Anitra perform? I really liked Mirage's talent, like the heel clicking. Mm-hmm. I was moved by that. I still like keep thinking about it. I watched it multiple times. I don't think I ever went back and watched Walk That Duck ever again. Not once.
Anitra's interesting. Not to like shade them, but like all I swear, just maybe because we follow like the same kind of pages, but like yeah. I feel like I've only ever heard about Anitra canceling shows like constant.
Yeah, I think she's just going through a lot. I think she's a great performer. I'm just saying that like the moments that get heralded as like
these iconic moments that like,
I think Marsha also had this too, where it was like, I think you guys just don't go out and see drag queens.
Okay, wait, can we, well, I don't want to say, but let's just say we've seen some of the girls on the shows in person and the local girls tend to outshine,
yeah,
outdo.
Yeah, no, that's also outperform. The joke is the way that local girls outperform Drag Race contestants like, almost every time I've seen them perform with
Drag
Race contestants. On
like a Tuesday night, they will like do something that unforgettable and then Drag Race girl comes out and I'm like, oh, that was fun. Like, it was
Matt,
good.
When we went to the port and we saw that one girl and her wig was not secured and her costume didn't fit. And she obviously was working a lot. Like
the Drag Race girls are being put through it. Absolutely. Yeah,
to be fair, that was probably her like fifth stop that in like a month. Yeah. Right. But a local girl came out and did a Selena number.
And we were
that like gagged. Brought the actual house down.
Yeah, exactly.
Like legitimately, I have seen very few times where people like legitimately lost it over a girl the way they lost it over this local girl doing just like Selena on like a Thursday night, right?
Yep, yep.
And this Drag Race girl followed her and I was immediately like, oh, they are so specific with the way that they edit those lip syncs on that show.
Yes.
Because
I say this all the
for
time.
Some of those girls, they must be cutting around the parts that look like this. Sorry.
I also, I'm going to speak my truth. Not to that level of what we saw before, but I was just at Oasis for Sci-Fi Night, Princess.
Yeah.
And it was Neo Hulu X from Dragula. Stunning. She was amazing. But like, I'm just gonna be honest, like she was great. It was fun, but like probably would rank on the lower end out of all the performances I saw from, again, the local girls who every time bring it. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I just don't think, like you said, they actually go out to drag shows. Like,
some girls,
and see what other people
some
do.
Girls are touring and are making their money from touring. And some girls are making a literal living by working in bars and making as much money as they can from bars.
Exactly.
And that is like their job. It is their life. They are like, I need to put on a good show because I have to pay my bills and good shows get me tips. You know,
one of the local girls did, oh my God, the blue lady from Fifth Element, you know, the singer, like the alien, and they were playing the violin. I was just like, so gagged. I was like, this is talent. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Or like some people come out and just the most beautiful handmade like craftsmanship, or they like fully do a whole skit and story in lip sync and like multi-mix in like 5 minutes. And I'm just like in awe the whole time. And Nia Hoodoo was great. Like, I think she was stunning and gorgeous and it was very fun. But it was like literally, I was like, you didn't bring the caliber like that we kind of were used to seeing. Like, I didn't get like a, I didn't feel like I was getting a show with you. It was kind of more like a cameo appearance. It felt like, it's just like not shade. It's just like interesting. I think what bothers me about it, what makes me mad is that like when the Drag Race girls are, I don't want to say the Dragula girls, because I've only seen a few in person, but especially the Drag Race girls, when they come out, these bars suddenly are like outsold and they're like busier than ever, which is great. Like we always love to see the local like community get like, you know, what they deserve. But it's just crazy that those will sell out and like cause these bars to like almost collapse under the weight of everyone coming in to see the Drag Race girls. And then the local ones who are like really putting on a fucking show just do not get the same attention.
Like,
it's just
literally,
like, damn.
I know.
It feels so unfair. Like,
We saw two like genuinely incredible performances when we went to Taboo, which, by the way, we're all boycotting Taboo.
I know, it's sadly unfortunate to hear.
Because they kicked out a Palestinian, they kicked out a person who was like advocating for Palestine on stage, and it got really bad. I don't want to like play the like, he said, she said, what's the word? Telephone. I don't want to like mess up the details of it, but essentially someone was advocating for Palestine on stage. They removed them and then later issued a statement that like really didn't take accountability for it. And then the performers were like, they tried to talk to us, but it was all bullshit. Anyways, I just wanted to shout out like when we saw Sir Donix there, who's like a local Philly girl.
So good.
So good. So I keep thinking about that performance.
I know,
their
that was
mix
amazing.
Was amazing.
And that was one of those nights too where it was like weekday night, there's like 10, 20 of us in that like room, and it was like legitimately like a top tier show. One of the funniest shows ever too. So fucking funny. And you gagged them too.
I
when they
did
were,
gag
when
them.
They were talking to
Sorry.
Us about it. They did like a, what was it? Pronoun, star sign. Oh my god, and here's you were amazing.
So yeah, the Drag Race thing is like fine enough, but I don't know, it's gonna be hard to get through the season, but I'm dialed in because I'm rooting for Nymphia and my girl Safira from Philly. Shout out Philly girls.
Yeah,
I also was gonna say, we've been watching The Traitors, and we'll probably end here. We're just like talking shit this episode, you guys, because there's like not really much going
there's
on right
nothing
now.
Nothing happening. It's
no,
so
nothing happening, and we haven't
there.
Gotten to talk, so we're like, let's just like chat shit. Mm-hmm. The Traitors.
Traitors US, mama. Oof, it's rough.
I'm going to say I probably am not going to finish the season.
I will, but I understand why. So, like, I think we should give we can do a little spoiler for why we feel
that's
this
fine.
Way.
It's all over Twitter. If you don't know this, like, that's your fault.
Yeah, we're only two episodes in, but basically what happened very obviously and very quickly, and this is kind of the case for a lot of the Traitor shows, like, the whole point of the show, and I think about this all the time, I was just tweeting about this, the show really shows how, like, groupthink and mentality is like,
yes,
just
100%.
So the biases that people possess are so prevalent that they will literally imprint anything on anybody. And what happened was Peppermint, the only like obviously trans and black woman on the show right now, is basically the first for the entire group to turn on. And the way that they paint her is like suspicious and weird, and it's like one person's account who saw something, and even the people who were there were like, it didn't seem that serious. They still all followed what she said anyway, and they were wrong.
Yeah,
because
a white
she was a
woman
faithful.
Saw her mm-hmm. as being like shady.
And she's
like,
the one who brought up an antagonistic point. Like, she's like, oh, if I died tonight, you're definitely the traitor. And oh, why are you acting so weird about it? It was like truly just like microaggression.
No, it's like that
case study.
It was a complete microaggression turning into like just straight up racism.
Yeah.
And it was like, she was like, you're so suspicious. Why are you so suspicious and dramatic? And then at one point she was
so
like,
gross.
Don't put your hands in my face. Don't get aggressive with me.
So
like,
gross.
I'm treating you with respect.
And again,
you should treat me with respect.
Was the one who immediately out of nowhere was like, you could be a traitor. And then she reacts away and is like, oh, so you
and
must
then
be
like,
one.
Unfortunately for Peppermint, she was getting really flustered because literally the
you
entire house
was
piling
happening.
On her.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, like she like mixed up her words, and they were like, and you were mixing up your words. Like, you're clearly guilty.
The second she accidentally said like, I'm not a traitor or something like that, which it was,
she was clearly
it was
flustered.
Obvious the way it happened was she misspoke. She didn't like let something slip. Also, this is what I mean. I do love this about the show, that it proves that what people think they know, things they really don't. And that happens every season. Everyone thinks, oh, they're so obviously a traitor, and then they're not. That happens most of the time. They're usually
no, it's
wrong.
So common on that show, and they're all wrong. And they're like, we are so sure of it. Like, it's only you. Da 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 da. And there was only two people who actually stood up for her.
Who
were
like, that's crazy.
You're all being a group think currently, and I don't like it. And it's really shady the way that everyone turned on her. And they were like, she literally is the worst person alive, essentially, is what they painted Peppermint out to be.
That's
and again,
ridiculous.
Peppermint's like doing the like cunty stunty queen of like this show act. Like, she obviously is a TV character. She's coming on. She's being a character.
She was voted most popular. That was literally one of the challenges. Popular. She was voted most popular. And yeah,
and I was like, you literally all are just like immediately projecting this like angry black trans woman, dramatic, like aggressive black trans mm-hmm. woman personality onto her. And it was like really upsetting to watch. Like, I actually could not finish the episode until like we basically just like left it on in the background, because I was like, this is like triggering, like watching this go down and watching all these people just like completely turn on her for legitimately no reason was just like, okay, this is actually a little too true to life.
Well, what's hard about that show is that's literally how it goes though. In the first, like, especially the first like few episodes of every season, the whole thing is literally the way the game is set up is some people are traitors and you have no idea if they ever are going to be traitors or faithfuls until you either banish them or they get killed or you get to the end of the show. So the beginning is always loaded with like people who legitimately have no idea what they're doing. One person's name gets thrown out and it's all over from then on. Like everyone turns, everyone gets in groupthink. It doesn't matter what they said or did, it's like automatically going to be like what they go after, which is why, again, like the show is a really good example of like complacency and neutrality will like let you be exploited, because the traitors are like, well, if her name was thrown out, like we're going to drive that home and like let them take that, because now that's how we win the game. But I think what's so upsetting is in the first season of almost each franchise, they will go after women, people of color, almost like exclusively first, like every single time. Remember in UK, the woman that had one arm, she said something like, oh, it was weird the way she like did this thing at the beginning of the episode. And it was like based off the fact that she didn't have like her right arm. Something like, oh, she like moved weird and did this. And it was like, yeah, because she like doesn't have a right arm. It was like
literally
insane.
Literally.
Or like the other guy, and I think it's in UK right now, there's this black man who is like friendly when it first starts, but then gets more calculated and quiet later on as it goes, because trying to take it seriously. And they're all like, you're getting really weird, like it feels kind of aggressive. And it's like everyone starts to turn. I was like, and of course it was like the Karen lady who did it first, like this older white lady. And I was like, noted,
Trishelle.
We can see it.
It's this thing where like, listen, like, obviously, I have not experienced this the way that Peppermint would experience this, and I would never claim to, but a lot of trans women I know, especially trans women who are, like, visibly feminine and, like, very much, like, you know, a certain kind of look, we've all experienced this, where, like, as you start to encroach, like when you first start transition, you have these cis women in your life who like don't think of you as like a threat or as a woman. Mm-hmm. And so they extend this like almost like pitying.
It's like an ingenuine,
like ingenuine, like sort of like camaraderie with you, where it's like, oh, we all love Joan, but like they don't actually see you as like a real person, right?
It's almost like they have a little asterisk in their mind.
Something to feel bad
conditional.
About. And I have actually encountered this, something that makes them feel better about themselves, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's like, you know, mm-hmm. they feel superior to you. And as you start to get cuntier, as you start to get work done, as your transition develops and you start learning how to dress and do your makeup and your hair, and you start getting attention from like guys that also might be interested like, in with them, in. Suddenly it's like this thing will switch in some people's brains. And I have a lot of cis women friends. This isn't all cis women. I'm just saying like I see this a lot, where it's like people who like you would think otherwise are like allies of yours, or like, oh, like we have some kind of like common, like, you know, commonality, kinship, etc. It literally like flips like that. And people that you literally thought of as a friend, or people that you literally thought of as like confidants, suddenly are like talking about it with themselves, mm-hmm. of like, wow, Joan is like so dramatic, or like Joan's so suspicious, or like, God, Joan's so aggressive, or like, you know, like starting to have little things like, oh God, when Joan did this thing, or oh God, when Joan did that thing. And it happened a lot when I was first transitioning, because I just like didn't know how to move through certain spaces as a woman. It was like all new to me, you know, mm-hmm. like there were doors that opened to me that like were previously open to me as a gay man, but not as a woman. Yeah, so like,
exactly.
I was young too. So I think also people were still in like high school mentality, because I was like 18 when I started transitioning. And so like that probably exacerbated it. But just like watching things that I very much also can relate to, just like the attitude of people all suddenly being like, because of one person or two people deciding something about it's you over. As a trans person,
yeah,
everyone's like latent unconscious bias or like active bias just immediately assimilates into that groupthink, and everybody will just like turn around on you. And it's really scary when it happens. You're like,
that's why I hate to say the traders is so good, because you're like, it's so obvious how that's what's happening and how everyone is legitimately like susceptible to it. It feels like, not everybody, but a lot, many.
I had a friend who that happened to really easily, like recently, with like a bunch of friends of theirs where, you know, she's trans and like, over like a true like misunderstanding and also like somebody else's actions in tandem, like a bunch of people that were her friends just like suddenly decided like, oh, like she's like not a good person, like in unison over something that's like not a real thing. And a bunch of bystanders all just like collectively agreed to go along with that because, you know, who gives a fuck what happens to trans women? You know, like we can all finally like flex our like bias now.
It does feel like some people are like,
because like everyone else has dropped the act. Yeah. Everyone else has dropped the act. So I can drop the act now.
They're
too,
like, oh,
right?
Finally, like, we can like stop pretending.
Yeah.
We
finally,
care
now
for
we
this
can
person.
Stop pretending to like care about this person. Yeah. Exactly.
It's disgusting.
It's really upsetting. It just like was upsetting to watch. It just like brought up a lot of feelings and like memories of this kind of thing happening.
I am happy she, because you can tell they're told to not bring up race or gender at all. Like you can tell they're like explicitly told you can't get into it because it would spiral completely. Yeah. But I was happy that Peppermint was able to at the end basically slide in. Also, she looks so fierce when she she had to stand up. Like
she's
the
such
like
a good
twist
TV
over
character.
She did, I was like, oh my god, I love it so much. I love her so much. But when
and
she
like,
just
two
went
things
like
can be true. She's bad at the game, and also it was like a fucking messed up thing.
Well, yeah, when happened. She was really like, as a trans woman, like this is the experiences we have, and, you know, she just she did her whole thing. It was like very like, you know, obviously like, what's the word? She was being very like cordial about it, but I was like, you all should feel like garbage.
Well, did you see Trisha was like, I've been trying to contact Peppermint, but she's not responding to me because I feel horrible about what happened still. I've been carrying
it
for months.
Well, sucks for you.
Yeah, live sucks with that for burden. You, bitch. Yeah, girl.
Mess.
Girl.
Mess.
Mess.
By the way, I'm on Miami season 2, getting through it, and it's like the best show I've ever seen.
It's so good.
It escalates quickly in season 2. Like, quickly. Like,
I told you.
People being thrown in pools. Like, people
isn't
being beat
Leah
up
Black,
camera.
Like, the worst person alive?
Oh, I'm, like, terrified of her. The scene where her husband... I mean, we know later what ends up happening with Epstein and other cases.
Yeah.
But the scene where, like... You know, she's kind of explaining about how controversial her husband is, and her son is like reading about the case that he's working on of like a convicted like serial murderer or something. Just absolutely insane. Like just absolutely insane. And she's like, honey, remember, it's innocent till proven guilty. Like, you know, like everyone needs representation in this country.
Yeah, even Epstein, huh, Leah?
Yeah, even Epstein. Oh, my God.
I did
God.
Decide, though, what our episode is going to be on Wednesday, by the way, as we were talking. I was going to talk about it today, but I'm like, no, let's talk about this on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of New Fire Island?
Oh, what?
We're going to go there. We're going there.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We have to. We have to.
Of course we have to.
Oh, my God.
Are you ready for this, mama?
I'm so ready. I can't wait.
Well, girls, thanks for another fun episode. It's snowing, so I definitely want to go now and finish making my bread and look out the window and dream of a time when I can be in love again and in the arms of a 6'5" man with a huge dick who's helping me make bread on the weekends.
That's extremely inspirational.
That's my Lifetime movie, Hallmark movie.
Big Dick Baker.
Yeah, Big Dick Baker. Yeah, that's honestly the only thing about winter on the East Coast that I'm realizing is like you can definitely tell why cuffing season is like a thing that's like an institution at this point, because it's like, mama, getting through this winter single is not the wave. Not the wave.
I can see like that. What's that Halloween animatronic of like the lady screaming in the chair?
No, it literally feels like, you know that meme of, I think it's like a SpongeBob meme where it's like he's walking, it's like squeak 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 squeak, like, you know that noise?
Yeah.
I literally feel like that every night I go up to bed. I'm like walking back to bed alone with just like the squeak 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 squeak. Well,
we're manifesting. It'll happen soon.
Manifesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, I'm drowning in guys who are 6'5" with big dicks. That's not the problem. It's just, do I want to spend any extra time with them? You guys will have to tune in on Beautiful Women Updates to hear more about what I've been up to since the last time Alex and I spoke.
Okay.
I love you.
I love you,
love too. Love you, babe. Love you, babe.
Enjoy your
I know
yeasty activation. Sorry.
Go back to your man and like leave me the fuck alone. Mm. Don't comment on my abilities. Don't comment on my life. Don't comment on my bread.
Don't comment on my bread.
Yeah, don't comment on my bread. I know. I know. I'm just meandering now. I'm just sentimental about the winter time. We should find snow to go to, by the way, next year.
Oh, yes. So you know. That'd be great.
Let's look for snow.
I know. I'd love to like actually like a snowy vacation, but also not be trapped in the snow. Like I'm afraid will happen every time I see it.
That might be nice too, though.
I'm just got to stock up. Those videos of people who are like, we literally
don't think
leave
stocking
for, like,
up
a week.
Is an issue for you.
It's true. It's true.
I don't think having lots of snacks and food is like an issue for
true.
Me.
That's very true. We'll never show up any.
Honey. Yeah, no. Okay. Well, okay. I do actually have to
get
my
yeast
risen. Three, two, one. Hi. My name is BB Rexa. And I'm doing something that I've never done before, which is use this as the outro. Goodbye.
Goodbye.